Advent season that help us to just to slow down and reflect. Things like Advent calendars, lighting of the Advent candles, Advent devotional reading, or just simple ways that we reflect on the coming of our Savior. And so my prayer is that as we go throughout these weeks, that we would hear and see this story unfold, and that we just once again just take time and to just appreciate and to see and to hear how God is speaking to us again, even now today, in such a relevant way for us. So to get us going, here's a little video clip about Elizabeth's story. So this morning we're going to talk about disappointment. There's plenty of it this year, right? There's plenty of things that we had planned for, expected. Last year at this time, we did not think this was going to be how it was. As a parent, you know it's a part of life. You have experienced that plenty. It's really hard to watch your kids go through it whenever they face it. We all face it to all kinds of varying degrees, and maybe it's unmet expectations. Maybe it's the loss of someone you love. Children making poor choices. Maybe there's disappointment in marriages and friendships and relationships that you got. Financial hardship, careers not turning out like we had hoped, not making a team or a group that you tried out for. Maybe there's sickness. Maybe there's injuries, cancer. The list goes on and on and on, right? There is plenty of stuff that we face in regards to that. But the big question is, what do we do with it? How do we handle it whenever we face those things in life? And there's a number of directions that we can go. We can go in direction of where we're paralyzed by fear. We can go in the direction of getting bitter and angry at life, or maybe even God. We can just get really down, depression. We can give up on things, on people, on life. But how do we handle disappointment in a way that is honoring to the Lord? And so the good for us is that our God is well aware of the disappointment. He's well aware of the hurt. He's well aware of the struggle and the pain in life that we're facing. And as we look at this story this morning, as we just got to hear a little bit of maybe some of the thoughts that Elizabeth might have been having. This morning, as we look at this passage, I hope that you find some encouragement for these days. And so if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25 is what we're going to read, 20 verses. It's a little bit longer, but we're going to hear the story. So Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. Luke starts in verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people." Our Father in heaven, we ask that you would just speak to us this morning, speak to us now as we look to your word. Lord, may we have hearts that are open to hear, and may we leave ready to apply it to our lives. In your name we pray, amen. Well, here's the context of this story. Up to this point, it's been more than 400 years since the Jewish people believed that the Holy Spirit has been active in their midst. Malachi was the last prophet through whom God had spoken, and as this passage tells us, begins, we are told that this is happening in the days of Herod, king of Judea. And Herod was a king who had come into rule, and he had with some opposition, not only because he was Rome's representative, but also because he was a king noted for his tyranny. It was a hard time of struggle for Israel, and it's in this kind of hard and disappointing time of suffering for Israel that we're introduced to Zechariah and Elizabeth. And so that's the situation here. It is a time of hardship, a time of suffering, a time of waiting and waiting for the promised Messiah. And for the past few hundred years, God has been silent. But not only as a people have they been facing this hardship, but here we're introduced to Zechariah and Elizabeth, who are an older couple who are facing a disappointment on an even more personal level. And that is the disappointment of not being able to have kids. They're now advanced in years and they're childless because Elizabeth was barren. And in verse 25, Elizabeth mentions that that reproach that she had been enduring and facing among her people was because of this. The Greek word used here for this reproach has with it this idea of that she was facing insult, disgrace among her people. Even some would have viewed the reason that her and her husband were unable to have kids was because of some sin in their lives. And maybe you're here this morning, and some of this just resonates with you in regards to the disappointment that they must have been feeling, or maybe that you're feeling in some other way in your life. Like Elizabeth, you just don't feel like you measure up to others for some reason. Or maybe you're like Zechariah, and you have faithfully strived to serve the Lord faithfully. It says that these two are blameless and righteous individuals. And here, even though you've continued to faithfully serve, yet there is still, for some reason, this great disappointment in life. Maybe you can relate. And so it's in that context that we want to look at this story this morning. And what can we learn that will help us deal with and handle disappointment, those disappointing things in our lives, those hard things, those times of struggle? And there's two ways that I want to look at this passage this morning. And the first way is I want to look at it from the perspective, what do we learn about God in this, in the midst of this? Whenever we're facing disappointment in our lives, the really important thing for us to think about and to understand and know is God. And what do we know about God? What does this passage tell us about him? That's the first thing we want to look at. And then secondly, what can we learn from Elizabeth and Zechariah and their example and what they modeled for us in this passage? And so first, what do we learn about God? The first thing that we see in this passage that I want us to be reminded of, and it's all over, and all these things are all over what we sang about and sang through this morning, is that God is sovereign. That God is sovereign. Just as he was in Zechariah and Elizabeth's story is the same that is true for today. And the story that we are a part of is that we are a part of a much bigger story, and the focus of the story is God. He is the main focus. He's the one who is writing it. He's the one that it's all about. It's a story where he's the hero. It's not a story that is about us, but it is about him and how he is the one worthy of all the praise, and we get the privilege to be a part of his story. And so with that being said, we got to remember that he is the one who is orchestrating all of history, and he is the one who is orchestrating this whole story that we're reading here today. The process for a priest getting selected to be the one to go into the holy place was one that we're told in verse 9 that he was chosen by lot to get to go there. The custom was that out of 24 divisions of priests, they would take turns, and it just so happens that this is the day that it is going to be Zechariah's turn to get the job to go in. He's chosen by lot to go in to take to the task of the incense offering, which we're told is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and here he gets to do it. God is orchestrating this whole event. He's sovereign. He knows what his people are going through, and he's saying, now is the time. Now is the time that we're going to move forward in this story. And so we find a God who is in control, but not only is our God reigning in control, but we find that he is a God who hears. What is it telling us in verse 13? In verse 10, there's a multitude of people who are praying outside at the hour of incense. In verse 13, the angel says to him, "Don't be afraid, for your prayer is heard." What are we learning about God here? But that God hears our prayers. Maybe you've been at that point in your life, it's like, I don't know if God even hears my prayers. And you wonder and you doubt, but here God's word tells us God hears our prayers. He is not one who is deaf to us. But not only does he hear their prayers, but now he is about to answer their prayers. The first thing in this story that we know in regards to what is being prayed for is by this multitude of people who are praying, Israel is praying that God would send the promised Messiah and that he would come and rescue them. And he's about to begin that process of answering their cries, answering their prayers. And as he does so, he answers the more personal prayers of Zechariah and Elizabeth for a child. And so as he answers our prayers, we find that he is also a God who is full of grace. He is gracious and he meets us in our need. For Elizabeth, God met her in her disgrace, and he graced her by taking away her disgrace. And she didn't earn God's favor, but he was gracious to her. And he gave her a son to be named John, which means what? Do you guys know? God is gracious, and he was going to bring her joy and gladness. And so while God is gracious, we also find the reality that God takes those hard things in our lives, those difficult things, and he's working in the midst of them to help us grow. Zechariah teaches us that God sometimes teaches us through difficult things. Do we think that was easy for him to not be able to talk after all these times, for them to endure this season of their life, this many years in their lives where they weren't able to have kids? No, but God used that time to teach him. In verse 18, there he's saying, here I am, and this is what's going to happen, and Zechariah questions this. Do you see how he responded? There he was in the holy place. It's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of experience for him to get to go in there to the very presence. And there's an angel talking to him. This doesn't just happen every day, and yet Zechariah still thinks, I'm going to question this. Is this really going to happen? He and his wife are old. He needs to have some kind of credentials. And so Gabriel identifies himself as one who stands in the very presence of God, and he has been sent to give him this good news. And you want a sign to show that this is going to happen? Well, he gets a sign in verse 20. What's the sign that he's going to have here? You will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words. I'm sure it wasn't easy to be quiet. But God worked through that. It wasn't easy being childless for all of these years of disappointment and unmet expectations and hope, but God was working through all of those years. I don't know what you're going through, but I'm sure you're going through something and you're wondering, God, I don't understand why everything is so hard, why everything is so difficult, what I'm going through in my life right now, but you got to know and you got to remember all the times how God did work through the difficult things, how he has already done it, and he's done it, doing it here in this story, and he's going to do it again in your life. And we find a God who keeps his promises, because what God promises, he's going to perform. God had said in the Old Testament through the prophecies that this was going to happen in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 through 6. God says this. He says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he's going to come and he's going to do these things. And now we're hearing this story in verses 15 and 17 here in this first chapter of Luke, That exact thing is happening, and he will be filled by the Holy Spirit. This is what it said about John, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, which is the same line that is already said in Malachi about him. And then what does Jesus say about John on the other side as Jesus is beginning his ministry? He says, this is the one of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, and he's going to prepare a way before you. All throughout this, we're seeing that God keeps his word. He's keeping his word. And so what Gabriel says to Zechariah as he tells him of his upcoming silence, is that God will fulfill what he has promised. And when does God work? He works in his timing, in the perfect way. He does it on his time and sometimes in the most surprising of ways. And this passage calls us to see that the plan is by his design. The creator of the universe knows what he is doing, and we find that his ways are better. Not only is his timing better, but his ways are better. They had prayed for a son, but they're getting so much more than that. Not only are they getting a son, but they are getting a prophet, the one who is preparing the way for the Messiah. And so maybe in your life, whenever you're running into roadblocks, just know not to see them as dead ends, but to see them as maybe a fresh turn in the road. So in this passage, we find a sovereign and gracious God who is true to his word, who answers prayer in ways and with timing that is better than we could have ever imagined. And in the midst of the disappointments, in the midst of the hard things and the challenging things that we're working through, from what our perspective is the greatest disappointment and hardship in life, God works and he brings joy and he brings gladness. And so that's the God of the Bible who longs for us to trust him and believe that he can do the impossible. And so with that in view, how do we approach and how do we handle disappointment in our lives? Here's just a few ways as we look at Zechariah and Elizabeth's example, what we can learn from them. The first thing is to faithfully serve the Lord. Keep on faithfully serving the Lord. Did Zechariah give up on his ministerial duties whenever things got hard and he couldn't understand there was such great disappointment in his life? No, he kept on serving the Lord faithfully. All these years later, he's continuing to serve. They were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. Whatever it is that you're facing in life, I want to encourage you to continue to faithfully serve the Lord and to trust him. We may not understand why what is happening is happening, but God is faithful and he loves you and he's going to give you every single thing that you need to be about the business of what he has called you to in your life. And so continue to serve him, and may that be a testimony to trust in him. As we've been journeying through 1 Peter, that's what it's all been about. It's been plenty of talk about there's going to be suffering and hard times, especially for those who are followers of Christ. Secondly, take it to the Lord. Elizabeth teaches us to take our sense of grief over our disappointments to God and to be sure to take our rejoicing to him as well. In verse 13, we're told that their prayer has been heard. Nowhere in this story do we get this sense of bitterness from disappointment. Without a doubt, there is hurt, and without a doubt, there is pain. Where else can we go but to the Lord? The psalmist, he reminds us, right, in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation, of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, whom shall I fear? And then when evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear, though an army encamp against me, that my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. The encouragement is to take all your disappointments, take all the hurt, and take all the pain, and take it all to the Lord. And place it in his sovereign and gracious hands. But as we do this, don't underestimate. Don't underestimate what God can do. We hear Zechariah's response, it's one of disbelief. Trust that God can do the impossible in your life and take him at his word. In humility, trust him. Whenever the future seems too impossible and too big, Like there's no hope, no possibility of peace or joy. Hear what Zechariah is saying to God. But I'm too old. My wife is too old. He's been praying for this or that for so long, and now God's answering prayer. Do we really believe that God can do the impossible? Don't underestimate what God can do. And so don't underestimate God, but also let's wait patiently on the Lord. This one's hard to do. This couple has been waiting years. Through all their best childbearing days for this day, Israel has waited for 4 centuries. That's 400 years. Wait patiently on the Lord and rest in him and let him be enough for you. Even in the midst of disappointing circumstances, let him be enough. We always like to be doing and getting things done and all of that kind of stuff, but no matter how much we do, the one whom we need to work is God. And so let's wait on him. And 2 other things, be teachable. If he teaches us through difficult times, then in the midst of the hard things that we're going through, let's be teachable. Humbly place yourself before him so that he would work in your life in whatever way he wills. And lastly, let's trust his timing. Trust his timing, his ways, and his word. Paul writes this to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 2:9. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. And so that's how I want to encourage us to handle the disappointment that we face in our lives. That we would serve him, that we would take our disappointment to him, that we would wait patiently on him, that we would know that nothing is impossible with him, that we would trust his timing and his ways and his word. Ultimately, what God did in answering Zechariah and Elizabeth's prayers and the people's prayers of Israel, God answered their prayers, and not only was it a blessing to them, but it was a blessing to all the people. God saw our need, and he was gracious towards us, and he sent his one and only son to pay the price at Calvary so that we might be saved, that by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, we would be forgiven of all of our sins. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And so if there is a God who loves us that much that we can trust for our salvation, can't we trust him with every single area of our lives? Yeah, we can. We can trust that he's going to work all things together for the good of those who love him. And so I know in this room there's plenty of hardship. There is plenty of disappointment. There is plenty of hurt, pain, suffering, all that stuff. All of us have a story of that. And this morning, I just pray that you're encouraged and reminded to know that we've got a good, gracious, powerful, almighty God who has perfect timing. His ways are way better than anything that we can even understand, and he's not done yet. And he's going to keep on working, and he's present, and so that we would just be faithful to keep on looking to him each step of the way as we go, as we face, and as we handle these disappointments in our lives. Will you trust God even with the hard things that happen in life? That's the question. And so let's just bow our heads, and let's just have that conversation with the Lord now. What is there? What is there that's heavy on your heart right now? Just take it to him and hand it over to him and ask him to work. Maybe it's something with a child. Maybe it's something with a parent, with a friend. Maybe it's with your future. Whatever it is, just take it to him and know that he cares.